I could go. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmadu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma abad. Alhamdulillah, we are now on part 10 in our series, Wisdom of Actions. Basically, we have started discussing about the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shah Waliullah Delvi Rahmatullah Alayhi states that there are four major shiars of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He states this in Hujjatullah al-Baligha, Quran al-Kareem, the Kaaba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Salah. We have stated that if we respect and honor and love and defend the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is a sign of piety. However, if any person, Muslim or non-Muslim, goes against the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the chief symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the person must await the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the chastisement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the anger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, historically, when we look at the Kaaba, to illustrate that if we do not respect the chief symbols of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will catch hold of us and punish us. And we see that in the case of the Kaaba, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recorded this in Alam Tara, Surah Fil, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of the elephants, how Allah destroyed those who come under the shiar. This incident about Abraha is a lengthy one, and many times we do not know it. But in order to illustrate the fact that if we go against the shiar of Allah, we are looking for trouble, I would like to narrate this story in detail. Abraha built a cathedral in Sana, as would not be seen anywhere in any part of the world at that time. He wrote to the Negus saying, "I have built a church for you, O king, such as never been built for any king before you. I shall not rest until I have diverted the Arabs' pilgrimage to it." So Abraha was under the Negus, and he built this temple and this church in Sana, and he wanted now the Arabs, instead of going to the Kaaba, they must come to Sanha, to the temple. Remember in those days that there was pilgrimage. There was the Hajj in the days of the ignorance, in the Ayam Jahiliya. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and at some stage I will describe to you the Hajjs that were performed during the time of ignorance, and how Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he modified it, rectified it, and directed it towards pure Tawheed. This was the beauty of Islam, and this was the beauty of the Shariat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not come and remove everything. That which was correct, he left. That which was valid and obvious and natural and decent, he left. And that which was full of shirk and superstition, he removed. Just giving you an example or two, that those people were making tawaf absolutely naked. Obviously, this is a immodest, immoral act, and it is not a decent act. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abolished that immediately and issued that tawaf will be made with clothing on. And the salah of those days around the Kaaba for those ignorant people, these kuffar and mushrik, was dancing, music, jumping, screaming, shouting, whistling, hooting, clapping. That was their form of ibadat. And Sharia has come, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expounded, no, this is no way of going close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he removed all this dancing and shouting and screaming and music and whistling and hooting and jumping and screaming and yelling and wailing and crying falsely. All that came to an end. Unfortunately, these days we got people who are trying to justify all this dancing and music and trying to say, no, all this is permissible, and trying to say there is things called permissible music now. All this is min al-jahiliya. This is from the days of ignorance. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he rectified all the wrongs and he corrected all their evil and pernicious teachings and brought it pure and pristine, decent and morally upright activities. However, this Abraha, he built this temple in Sana'a, and he pledged to his king that he will not rest until he brings all these Arabs to the worship in this temple. Abraha sent Hunata, the person under him, to Mecca, instructing him to inquire who was the chief notable of the country and tell him that the king's message was that he had not come to fight them, but only to destroy the Kaaba. If they offered no resistance, there was no cause for bloodshed. And if he wished to avoid war, he should return with him. Now, prior to this, we know that certain of the youth of the Quraysh, they went to this temple and this cathedral or this church in Sana'a, and they had despoiled it by urinating there, etc. So this angered Abraha and party. So they said, okay, these Arabs, we are telling them to come to the temple of Sana'a to worship and to be diverted, and they have come and done this. So they're going to now come against the Kaaba. That's why the Abraha sent Hunata with this message that we have come now to take over. And he wanted to know who's in charge. On reaching Mecca, Hunata was told that Abu Muttalib was the leading notable. So he went to him and declared Abraha's message. Abdul Muttalib replied, God knows that we do not wish to fight him, for we have not the power to do so. This is Allah's sanctuary and the house of his friend Abraha. Now, first of all, you must understand that these were mushriks. They believed in Allah, but they did not believe in the Tawheed. They did not believe in the oneness of Allah. They believed that Allah exists, but their major flaw was shirk, ascribing partners to Allah. And this was what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to remove and to cleanse them and purge them of. So Abdul Muttalib, he said, this is Allah's sanctuary and the house of his friend, Ibrahim. If he defends it against him, it is his house and his sanctuary. And if he lets him have it, by Allah, we cannot defend it. Now, we should analyze and see the answer which Abdul Muttalib is giving. That this is the house of Allah, and this is the sanctuary of Allah, and this is the house of Allah's friend, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wants to hand this house over to someone else, it is in his power, his qudrat to do it. And if he wants to defend it, again it is in his power. Yeah, there is one basic lesson for us, that the house of Allah is going to be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, provided we know that this is the symbol of Allah, and Allah will protect his symbol, his characteristics. Hunata replied that he must come with him to Abraha, so for he was ordered to bring him back with him. Thus, accompanied by one of his sons, Abdul Muttalib came to the camp and inquired for Dhu Nafar, who was a friend of his. He went into to see him, and he was imprisoned, and asked him if he could do anything to help them in their trouble. Dhu Nafar replied, "What use is a man who is held a prisoner in the hands of a king and expect to be killed at any moment? I can do nothing to help you except that Unais, the keeper of the elephant, is a friend of mine. I will send for him and commend your case to him. And as strongly as possible, I will mention your case to him and try to get permission for you to see the king. So speak as you think fit, and he will intercede for you with the king if he is able to do so." Dhu Nafar sent for Unais, saying, "The king has taken 200 camels belonging to Abdul Muttalib, who is the chief of the Quraysh and the master of the Meccan well, who feeds men in the plain and wild creatures on top of the mountains, and is now here. Ask permission for him to see the king and help him as far as you can." He said he could do so and repeated these words to the king, adding that Abdul Muttalib wished to see him, talk to him about a pressing matter. Abraha agreed to see him. So Abdul Muttalib, when he went towards Abraha, he wanted now to talk to Abraha himself and present the case about the Kaaba, and present the case, as you will see, about his 200 missing camels. What had happened when Abraha was marching with his army of elephants towards Makkatul Mukarramah? Then, obviously, the people of Mecca, they had their camels and goats and sheep grazing far off from the Kaaba. So whilst this army of elephants under Abraha and Unais, the keeper of the elephants, he captured 200 camels of Abdul Muttalib. So Abdul Muttalib was a most impressive and handsome and dignified man. When Abraha saw him, he treated him with great respect. He would not let him sit beneath him. He would not let the Abyssinians see Abdul Muttalib sitting beside him on his royal throne. So he got off his throne and sat upon the carpet and made Abdul Muttalib sit beside him. So this was his political acumen and his political maneuver, that he did not want the public to know he respected Abdul Muttalib. Because when Abdul Muttalib walked in, he was a person impressive and handsome and dignified, person walking with a gait of awe and respect. And Abraha decided, no, he will not bring him onto the same level as him. So he came down onto the carpet and he sat down. Remember, in those days, Abraha knew this also, and he was informed by Dhu Nafar that Abdul Muttalib, he was in charge of feeding the people. In those days, in the days of Hajj, of the days of ignorance, all the Quraysh, the Mushriks, Kufar, etc., they should entertain all those who were coming for Hajj to such an extent that even people like Abu Jahl, they should clear their homes, at least one floor or the front section of their homes for the guests. And we have seen this not long ago, 20, 30 years ago, when you went to Makkatul Mukarramah, when you went to Madinatul Munawwara, then the hotelier should tell you that you may stay in my hotel for 3 days free of charge. And if you like it, then you can sign the contract and stay on. And if you do not like it, then we will send our porters and take your goods to any hotel of your choice. And if you, when you reach that other hotel, they also will give you 3 days, the probation period, whether you like that hotel or not. And unfortunately, these days, everything is highly commercialized, the Hajj, the Umrah. That is why there is very little spiritual benefit and spiritual enhancement these days. Nevertheless, when Abdul Muttalib sat down with Abraha, then he told his interpreter to inquire what Abdul Muttalib wanted. So Abraha, via the interpreter, he asked Abdul Muttalib, why you came? The reply was that he wanted the king to return 200 camels of his, which he had taken. Abraha replied, through the interpreter, you pleased me much when I saw you. Then I was much displeased when I heard what you said. Do you wish to talk to me about 200 camels of yours, which I have taken, and say nothing about your religion and the religion of your forefathers, which I have come to destroy? Abdul Muttalib replied, I am the owner of the camels, and the house has an owner who will defend it. When the king replied that Abdul Muttalib would not defend it against him, he said, that remains to be seen. And he said, give me back my camels. That was Abdul Muttalib's stand. Because Abdul Muttalib was very clear that in Arabic there is a word for owner, Rab. Now, he said, I am the Rab of the camels, and I am responsible for that. And it is my duty to care for that, look after that. That is why he said, I want my camels back. 200 camels that you have taken, I want that back. And he was not worried about the Kaaba. And on inquiry, he clearly said that the house has got an owner who will defend it. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also knew that the shiar of Allah, that means the house of Allah, in this case, because this is the shiar, the sign of Allah, the symbol of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will defend it. Just like all other shiars that I have been mentioning, whether small or big, the Quran, the Kaaba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salah, the Kitabs of Deen, the Ulama, the Hafiz, the Qari, the Masajis, the Okaf property, the open invitation, the work of Dawat and Tabligh, the work of enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil, the defenders and upholders of deen, all if we have the intention correct and sincerity, and when we fulfill our responsibilities, we cannot expect at least the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without first fulfilling the basic responsibilities. Allah is there to help us. Allah is there to aid us. Allah is there with his unseen help. But obviously there has to be a few preconditions attached to this. The preconditions are very simple, that we have to at least fulfill the basic obligations which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to fulfill. A person doesn't look like a Muslim, doesn't feel like a Muslim, doesn't think like a Muslim, doesn't behave like a Muslim, and a person, he wants the help of Allah. This is absolutely unreasonable. But if a person is enjoying what is good, forbidding what is evil, a person is regular with salat, looking like a Muslim, and behaving like a Muslim, interacting like a Muslim, and treating people like a Muslim, then he is oppressed and suppressed and tyrannized. When he raises his hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help comes immediately. Especially when those people are going against the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this person is on the right, then the help of Allah comes quickly and comes rapidly and comes swiftly. When they left him, Abdul Muttalib went back to the Quraysh, and after giving them the news, ordered them to withdraw from Mecca and take up defensive positions on the peaks and in the passes of the mountains for the fear of the excesses of the soldiers. Abdul Muttalib took hold of the metal knocker of the Kaaba, and a number of Quraysh stood with him praying. Abdul Muttalib then let go of the knocker of the Kaaba and went out to the Quraysh companions to the mountain tops, where they took up defensive positions, waiting to see what Abraha would do when he occupied Mecca. In the morning, Abraha prepared to enter the town and made his elephants ready for battle and drew up his troops. Now, when Abdul Muttalib went to the knocker of the Kaaba, basically when he went to the door of the Kaaba, and the handle of the door, yeah, referred to as the knocker of the Kaaba, Abdul Muttalib, he made dua, and he prayed, and he had those witnesses with him. And the basic prayer was very simple, that you are the Rabb of the Kaaba. You defend the Kaaba. Meaning that Allah will defend the Kaaba because that's his sign, that's his symbol, that's his chief characteristics. Understand very clear, anything linked to Allah will come under the protection of Allah. See the story of Hazrat Saleh alayhi salam, that Naqatullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that, the camel of Allah. So once they hamstrung her, immediately the punishment of Allah came. We have the masjid. This is the Baytullah. So anything linked to Allah, if a person comes against it, the Nabi of Allah, Rasulullah, Awliya Allah. Now, when we have the kutub, the kitabs that are linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dawat which is linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mujahid who is linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the salah which is linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything that is linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, it comes under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, I reiterate that provided the person, he is a recipient of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Example, very simple. The sun is shining. The sun is giving out rays. Now, if a person wants to reflect those rays, then if he holds a dark surface and he holds it thinking that the rays of the sun are going to fall upon it and going to reflect, that person is fooled. That person is not being reasonable. On the other hand, that if a person has got a mirror, a shining surface, a clean, pure, neat surface, and the neater the surface, like the mirror, the brightness of the mirror, even if he has got a mirror that is dirty, soiled, then it's not going to reflect. But if he's got a mirror that is shining and bright and is able to reflect, then when the sun shines on it, it's going to reflect. It's going to respond to the rays of the sun. We are not yet becoming the recipients of Allah's help, and still we want the help of Allah. Sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they had become the recipients of the help of Allah. Understand fully what I am saying, because this is a misnomer that mata nasrullah, when is going to be the help of Allah? But we are not making ourselves in a position to be helped. We are not becoming true recipients of the help. The person, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, there is nothing reflecting Islam, but still we want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We look like the enemies of Islam, but we want the help of Allah. We look even worse than the enemies of Islam, still we want the help of Allah. There is no salat happening in our daily lives. There is photography, music, dancing, video going on in our lives. Look at the parts of the world where the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are crying tears of blood. Nothing is happening. The reason why nothing is happening is because we are not becoming the recipients of the help. When there is merrymaking, un-Islamic dressing, nudity, women are dressed half naked, there is alcoholism, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, the order of the day, where there is no respect for the masjid, there is no salat happening, no zakat giving, no charity happening, no interaction like how Muslims are supposed to be doing it. Smoking is going on and drugs is taking place. Intermingling of sexes is taking place. And all these evils are being perpetrated and still we want the help of Allah. Then definitely we are foolish. Compared to us, look at the life of Sahaba. Sahaba ikram, it was stated that in the night time they were sturdy and they were making salat. And in the day they behaved like seasoned fighters and soldiers. When they were in the battlefield, the impression was created that they were born to do this. And when they were weeping and standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the night, it is as if to say that this is what they were born to do and this is what they only did. And look at how they were helpful to each other. Their salat was in place. Their zakat was in place. Their helping each other, being supportive of each other, politically, economically, socially, they interacted in Islamic manner. They were well-wishers and defenders of each other. They were defenders of the Shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were respecting and loving the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were acted upon the sunnah in 24 hours. Out of 24 hours, they acted according to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today our life is what? If we act in 24 hours, half an hour according to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that is an achievement. Sahaba, they were on the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why when they stood 313 against 1,000, when they stood the 3,000 against 30,000, and when they stood 30,000 against 300,000, they were victorious. Why? Because they were that mirror. How the mirror attracts the sun rays and reflects it and responds to it. They were the mirror, purity of heart and amal and aqaid. Their belief was correct, their amal in position and in place. They were able to receive the unseen help of Allah. They became the true recipients of the unseen help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, logically, let us be very practical. Are we in a position to say, I am ready, or I deserve, or am I worthy for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Look at our iman, look at our amal, look at our character, look at our personality, look at our behavior. Am I ready to receive the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I a true representative, recipient of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we do not become collectively active and become positive recipients of the help of Allah, we are not going to get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the true stark reality of the matter, that when we do not deserve the help of Allah, we cannot expect the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Abraha was clear. He started preparing to enter the town of Makkatul Mukarramah and made his elephants ready for battle and drew up his troops. His intention was to destroy the house and then return to Yemen. When they made the elephants, its name was Mahmud, face Makkah. Nawfal bin Habib came up to its flank and, taking hold of his ear, said, "Kneel, Mahmud, or go straight back whence you came, for you are in Allah's holy land." He let go of its ear, and the elephant bowed, knelt, and Nawfal made off at top speed for the top of the mountain. The troops beat the elephant to make it get up, but it would not. They beat its head with iron bars. They struck hooks into its underbelly and frightened it, but it would not stand up. Then they made it face Yemen, and immediately it got up and started off. When they set it towards the north and the east, it did likewise. But as soon as they directed it towards Makkah, the elephant knelt down. Even the makhluk, here we can understand that the makhluk of Allah, that makhluk that does not speak, the animals, they also know they cannot come against the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why so many stories are written about Sahaba Ikram, about Awliya Izam, that when they went into the jungles, the animals they vacated, where they ran away. Why? Because of these were the people of Dawat inviting towards Allah. And the Awliya, those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we read their stories that when they were lost, the lions came to help them, and they rode on the lions back home. How this happens? Because the lions, the animals in the jungle, also know they have to respect and honor and also defend the symbols of Islam. So the elephant Mahmud, the leading elephant in anything, you have one lead. Even in battle, you have one person lead. Even here, the elephants knew that with the direction the elephant Mahmud will go, they will have to go and proceed. But when Nawfal bin Habib had whispered into the ears of this elephant that you should not go forward because you are in Allah's blessed land, that's why he sat down and refused to move in any direction it was ready to go, except the direction towards the Kaaba, towards Makkatul Mukarramah. They beat it, and you can have heard that they struck its head with iron bars and pierced its belly, etc. Nothing, it refused to move. Then, when the hukum of Allah is not there, nothing can happen. Then Allah, Jalla Majdahu, sent upon them birds from the sea, like swallows and starlings. Each bird carried 3 stones, little like peas and lentils, one in its beak and 2 between its claws. Everyone was hit died, but not all were hit. They withdrew in flight by the way they came, carrying out for Nawfal bin Habib to guide them on the way, crying out for Nawfal bin Habib to guide them on the way to Yemen. When he saw the punishment which Allah had brought down on them, Nawfal said, "Where can one Abraha flee from Allah's punishment?" Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that these birds that came and were seen on that day, it was not seen before and it was not seen after. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let these little birds display the wrath of Allah, the displeasure of Allah, and the kudrat, most important, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the mighty elephants of Abraha, the force and the military might of Abraha, the army of Abraha been destroyed because they're coming against the shiar of Allah. In those days, you can say that that was the superpower coming against the Kaaba. That was the superpower with all its might coming against the shiar of Allah. That was the military might coming against the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the power coming against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. And when you come against the kudrat of Allah, you cannot last. You cannot win against the power of Allah, against the shiar of Allah, against the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is exactly what we are trying to say, that these shiars of Allah, these symbols of Allah, we should honor and respect them. And if we do not understand, we should not mock and laugh. Anybody mocking and laughing and jeering against the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam also stands against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath and might and power. So we should be extremely cautious about this, that we should not play with the deen of Allah, with the shariat of Allah. We should not mock and jeer and laugh at the deen and shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not mock at those who are adorned with kurtas and turbans and having beards, using the miswak and having their garments above the ankles. We should not laugh and mock and jeer and question those who are in hijab from head to toe that are covered. And those that are going against all this hijab and miswak and kurta and beard, await the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sooner or later it is coming. We should not be happy with those who are trying to prevent the constructions of masjids and madaris and darulums. Remember that Islam is peace-loving, a deen and shariat of tranquility, bringing ease and comfort to the world, protecting the iman and the life and the integrity, dignity and property and intellect of every individual, male and female, young and old, Muslim, non-Muslim. Islam is there to protect. But if people want to go against the shiar of Allah, what happened to the mighty power of that age, those people who came against the Kaaba? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still exists. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat is being displayed hourly, minutely, daily. We can see the power of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as he destroyed the mighty elephant party of Abraha, he will destroy those who come against the shiar of Allah. Just as Allah helped Musa alayhi salam and destroyed the might of Firaun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy, just as he destroyed the mushrikeen of Makkah, who were well equipped against the Sahaba ikram led by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam. The qudrat of Allah still exists. It is for us to become the recipients of the unseen help of Allah. The fault lies in us. The existence of the light is there. The existence of the help is there. Just like we are not having the mirror to reflect and respond to the sun rays, we also are not ready, we are not prepared to accept the help of Allah. In order to get the help of Allah, we have to be in the state to receive the help of Allah. Now, it is stated that these birds had one pebble in the peak, and one pebble each in their claws. And according to some narrations, that the names were written on those pebbles, where they are going to fall upon, on whom they are going to fall upon. And it was falling with such precision and such force and velocity and strength and energy and power that it should fall on the head of the person and rip through the person from head right down, tearing that person apart. And with the animals, it was ripping them, tearing them apart also. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in simple language, they became like threshed harvest, like mincemeat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them. Visibly, they saw their friends being punished. Those were spared, they were spared for a particular reason, to report back to their superiors that what a punishment they underwent, what a chastisement they underwent, what a humiliation and disgrace they underwent. Meaning, sending out the signal clearly that do not come against the shiar of Allah. Do not come against the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not come against the Kaaba. And up to date, any person having his eyes on the Kaaba or the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually is going to fall. Because when we plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help in the right causes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. Now, as they withdrew, they continually fell by the wayside and died miserably by every water hole. Abraha was smitten in his body, and as they took him away, his fingers fell off one by one. Where the finger had been, there arose an evil sore, taking out pus and blood, so that when they brought him to Sana'a, he was like a young fledgling. They alleged that as he died, his heart burst from his body. Deserters from the army, laborers, and camp followers remained in Mecca and became workers and shepherds for the population. Yaqub bin Utba said that he was informed that this was the first time that measles and smallpox had been seen in Arabia. And also that it was the first time that bitter herbs were seen in that area. Because when, as per the hadith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is not a disease but wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stipulated the cure for it. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he let out the diseases and ailments of measles and smallpox, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also sent down the bitter herbs were seen there, growing there, as the cure for this. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he passed this place where the army of Abraha was destroyed, then he behaved in a particular manner. Now, this place is called the Wadi Muhassar. It is a place between Mina and Muzdalifah, where Allah Jalla Majdahu destroyed Abraha and his army of elephants. This incident we have been talking about in detail, but its summary is in Surah Fil. It is sunnat for the Hujjaj to walk briskly past this area as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. The hadith is reported by Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam walked briskly by Wadi Muhassar. Explaining the reason for this, Allama Ibn Qayyum in Zadul Ma'ad says that it was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to briskly pass by any area where Allah's punishment had come. Another reason is that this was the area where Arabs used to gather during the period of ignorance to laud the achievement of their forefathers. The Sharia therefore wishes to oppose the practices of the ignorance by hastening past the area. What we come to realize from the practice of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the places where the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended, we should walk past quickly. That is why in the expedition of Tabuk, etc., when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed those areas where the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken place, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, cover themselves and move rapidly past these places. Also, that we can view them, but we should view them knowing fully well that these are the areas where Allah's azab has come, but we should not tarry long there. We should behave exactly like how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behaved, moving swiftly there, and knowing fully well that this is a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azab descended. Now, this area these days, those who have gone for Hajj, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take everybody for Hajj and Umrah, that the government, the kingdom, has demarcated it, fenced it off, so no Haji can actually stay there or tarry there for long. Nowadays, you'll find a lot of building construction equipment and vehicles there, parked out there. So you do not have any chance of going there or staying there or tarrying there. Now, this area at the boundaries of Wadi of Muhassar are large signboards informing people that although this area is part of the Haram, it is not a place to be honored or respected. So what we are getting here, that the Shiar of Allah should be honored. And where the Azab of Allah, where the wrath of Allah has descended or is descending, we should not admire that place and we should not revere that place. We should not respect that place. And most important, we should not be going to that place. A Muslim is not a person to be found in the areas where the Azab of Allah is descending. Therefore, a Muslim must not be found in music halls, dance centers, rave clubs, discos, the casinos, the gambling areas, where there is evil being perpetrated, where fornication, adultery has become the order of the day. A Muslim must never be there. And all what we have been stating is recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Have you not seen how your Rabb dealt with the people of the elephant? Did he not lay their plans to waste and send against them flights of birds who pelted them with clay pebbles? فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَأَسْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ, making them look destroyed like eaten fodder. So we know that the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon any person, any people, any tribe that goes against the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, in this part here, we have mentioned in detail the history of Abraha, and salient features have been mentioned concerning what? Concerning that when we place our reliance on Allah, then provided we are the recipients deserving and worthy of the help of Allah, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely going to come. But if we ourselves are not ready and prepared and not designed for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to come. We are discussing at length that Allah has got the symbols, the chief characteristics, the shi'ar of Allah, and that by which when you look, you know that this pertains, it's linked. It is linked to the Muslims. When you see someone wearing a hat and having a beard, a kurta, and you know that this person here, he is a Muslim. By his external you can make out. When you see a lady dressed, covered head to toe, then you know no other nation dresses like this. No other females dress like this. And when you hear the call of Azan, there is no other nation that calls to prayer by using a system like the Azan. In fact, we have lately completed a kitab on the history and the laws and the rules and the regulations of Azan and Iqama, which will be released perhaps next year. And wherein the detailed history of Azan. Meanwhile, if you go to my website, alislam.co.za, you'll find a booklet on Azan, where we describe how Azan came out and how the various suggestions were made. Some suggested that we should ring, the Sahaba suggested that you should ring a bell, strike a bell. Some said no, that we should blow a horn. Some said no, that they should light a fire. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rejected all that because he said that one method the Christians were using, another method the Jews were using, another method the fire worshippers were using, and mentioned the golden rule that we should not be behaving like the other religions do. We should be opposing that, in fact, because we have got our own system, our own culture, our own civilization, our own philosophy, our own ideology, our own method of behaving, and our own unique method of worship. That is why when you hear this call of Azan, it is a shiar of Islam. And our ibadat also, this is a speciality of the Ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how we make our ibadat. So our ibadat is special, our Nabi is special, our Quran is special, our Kaaba is special, our shiars are all special. That is why these are the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are unique to us. They are special to us. They are our distinguishing signs and symbols and characteristics by which we are recognized and realized. And unfortunately, that the world wants us now to compromise and stop practicing upon our shiar. It is our responsibility that we hold fast to our shiar, our signs and symbols, that any person, any Muslim, any part of the world, because of his ibadat, and because of his behavior, because of his outlook, because of his personality and character, because of his mannerism and ethics, because of his method of worship, because of his salah, and because of his gait and smile and discussion, he is recognized as a Muslim. And when we are recognized as a ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. Remember clearly, we will expound this in future lessons, that the help of Allah does not come because I am a Maulana, or I am a Mufti, or I am a businessman, or I am an agriculturist or a farmer, or I am a trader or a businessman. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not come because I am a lawyer, or I am a doctor, or I am an engineer. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not come because I am a father, or I am a brother, or sister. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not come because of my status and position, or the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not come because I have got a fancy house and a luxurious car that I am driving. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not come because of the expensive shoes I am wearing or the fat back balance that I got. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes because when you and I project ourselves as being from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in order for us to be classified from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you and I have to behave, especially have our ibadat, our mamalat, our muasharat, our akhlaq, our siyasat, our ikhtisadiyat in conformity to the way of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning our character and personality, our economics and politics, our worship and our interaction, our transactions and business, our politics and economics, our social interaction, all should be in confirmation and in conformity with the way of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order for us to attract the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming next week, inshallah, part 11, we will discuss now the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wa salam. Wa akhru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.